Healing takes courage, and we all have courage, even if we have to dig a little to find it. Tori Amos.
Empowerment in education. Two powerful elements that will help you break free of convention and transform your passion for wellness to a level beyond the status quo. The Essential Oil Revolution, where you're given the tools to supersede an ordinary everyday lifestyle. Inspiring speakers, DIY recipes, healthy living tips, and more. You'll discover it all here. So tune in and get ready for a wellness revolution.
Welcome to the Essential Oil Revolution. I am your grateful host, Samantha Lee Wright. Thanks for tuning in with us. Today on our show, we have an amazing guest, Dr. Lindsay Fawcett, who, along with her business partner, Carrie Hughes, who you've heard on the show several times, are developing very cutting-edge ways of using lab testing and essential oils and so many more tools to provide patients with top levels of modern care that mix both Western, Eastern, allopathic, and alternative medicine together. Today, we dive into gut health, SIBO, IBS, essential oils, lab work, and so much more. That's today on our show, but first, let's pull a recipe out of our DIY dugout. Today's recipe is called Positive Power Perfume, and it comes from Kelly Bigelow in Easton, Maryland. To create the Positive Power Perfume, in a 0.5-ounce spray bottle, combine 7 drops frankincense, 5 drops Kid Power, 3 drops Joy, and 2 drops tangerine. Top with 80-proof vodka, shake, and spray on. Love, love, love this, Kelly. Why can't perfume both smell good and make you feel super powerful? I feel like this would be a great one for kids and adults alike. To submit your recipe to our DIY dugout, simply email us at diy@revolutionoilspodcast.com. When you do, you get automatically entered to win our monthly giveaway of orange essential oil and our favorite essential oil recipe ebook. That's diy@revolutionoilspodcast.com.
Hello, dear friends. In today's world, it's hard to maintain balance in any area of life. This includes in regard to our hormones. Let's face it, stress impacts everyone, and this affects our hormones. Compound stress on top of an already fluctuating cycle, and not so happy symptoms can result. Thankfully, we have essential oils to tame our mind and body, but a lot of times, many women need something more to keep their hormones at a healthy level. And that something more is where Happy Mammoth comes in. And right now, they are generously offering you 15% off your first order when you visit happymammoth.com and use promo code REVOLUTION. Happy Mammoth is a forward-thinking, all-natural wellness brand. They are obsessed with empowering people with quality natural health solutions aimed at promoting total body health and vitality. I love their comprehensive formula, Hormone Harmony, which contains herbal extracts that help to support hormonal levels, stress, mood, resiliency, and blood sugar. In fact, it contains adaptogenic herbs that help the body adapt to any kind of stressors. This can help to keep hormones in much better balance. Due to its synergy, Hormone Harmony formulation can be used for women in perimenopause, menopause, and any female with symptoms of hormone imbalances. What I love as a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor is that their products are third-party tested for quality and purity, free of heavy metals, and free from artificial fillers. For all these reasons, I am confident recommending Happy Mammoth to my clients and grateful to be supplied with my own bottle for a happier mood and less bloated belly during that time of the month. I am so pleased to have a company that stands behind women's health and optimizing wellness through science and education. So please support Happy Mammoth and the show. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with promo code REVOLUTION at checkout. That's Happy MAMMOTH.com and use promo code REVOLUTION for 15% off your first order.
Hello, dear friends. As an essential oil user, I know that you have probably come to not only appreciate, but to actually expect the powerful shift in emotions that you can get instantaneously when smelling your essential oils. When someone's dealing with the complex emotion of grief, life can get pretty heavy. Although emotions and essential oils can both be good allies, sometimes more is needed. I want to introduce you to a new podcast called A Place of Yes that is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. The host of the show is Heather Strother. Heather actually had a severe loss when she lost her 4-year-old son, Jack, suddenly to medical complications. 13 years later, now Heather is sharing the only way that she could move forward from the loss. This was by channeling her grief for the good and finding a place of yes. Now, her and her husband have created a nonprofit organization called Jack's Help from Heaven. Since then, they've helped hundreds of families with medically fragile children raise more than $1 million to help them to purchase with items that are not just medically necessary, but also convenient. Their goal is to improve the quality of life, and it offers you an opportunity to learn strategies to cope with grief and how to truly be there for someone that you love that is grieving. Now, sometimes the guests aren't just talking about the loss of a child, but the loss of the life they thought that they were going to live. And I know that we can all relate to that. Please listen to A Place of Yes now wherever you listen to podcasts. And also visit our sponsor at jackshelpfromheaven.org/news/podcast and learn about Heather and Brian's incredible nonprofit organization.
I'm here with Dr. Lindsay Fawcett, who is a family physician focused on personalized healing and explorations of health for both herself and those around her. Her approach in medicine is highly influenced by her perspective as an osteopath that considers the entire body as maintaining an important health-giving rhythm for life. She also thinks osteopathy is the best kept secret in modern healthcare. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lindsay. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well, Samantha, and thank you for having me on the show today.
I'm super excited to have you here, and I want to go ahead and dive into this sort of last part of your bio about osteopathy being the best kept secret in modern healthcare. Tell me more, because I was not very familiar with the term osteopath or osteopathy before you came on here. So explain to those that aren't familiar with that term, what is osteopathy? How is that different or the same as other forms of medicine? And why do you think it's the best kept secret? That's a lot of questions thrown at you.
Yeah. Well, let me get started with my degree is a doctor of osteopathy. And essentially, that's an MD plus, because everyone knows what MDs are, who they are, their training, and what they do. And I do all those same things. I'm board certified by an MD, board certification. And I also, as a medical student, received about 400 hours in training in both osteopathic philosophies and practice. And so what that means is there are distinct differences that we look at when we are applying healthcare to our patients. The one that I really like to highlight is the body heals itself, and we are able to augment that healing through what we do with patients every day. That's a distinct difference. And even some MD programs are starting to embrace some of this philosophy because they see the difference that it makes in their trainees.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see those kind of philosophical shifts starting to happen in that area. So I want to talk about Dr. Lindsay, you and Carrie Hughes, who I know very well. She's been on our show several times. She's an extremely talented ethnobotanist that often comes on to talk about the plant world with us. You two have partnered up and are starting to work with clients that are dealing with all sorts of different chronic illnesses, acute illnesses, and approaching things from that osteopathic side as well as that plant world side, and developing a lot of tools around essential oils and lab testing. And it's so modern. It's so fascinating to me. It's like that perfect crossover between allopathic and Eastern or alternative wellness. Tell us a little bit more about that and how you are incorporating essential oils into the work that you're both doing.
Yes, I'd love to. And I'll just throw in on a personal note, outside of my osteopathic training, I was a massage therapist for about 10 years before starting medical school. And I'd say that's where I first delved into the world of essential oils and really started seeing those effects for my clients at the time. And through my integrative medicine training, I worked with a few other practitioners looking at specific oils and ways that we might even repeat some studies that have been done. For instance, I'm sure you're familiar with a lot of the studies around lavender, postpartum care, incorporating that even in the hospital setting to assist new moms in getting that relaxation and good sleep. So those are some of my inspirations. And Carrie and I have really looked at that as well in terms of ways that essential oils can augment some of the other work that we're doing as practitioners, because it really is a unique form of therapy and really adds to what we're doing in ways that we're not finding with other approaches.
Yeah. How so? Give me an example.
Lavender for sleep, as I said, is a really wonderful example. Often, especially in the winter, patients are coming to us with health concerns that they have around immune function. That's a big part of something that we can offer them that perhaps we're not getting with some of the other approaches. And, you know, Carrie and I have also been discussing some of the benefits in terms of gut health and digestion. That's really a big piece of what we're looking at through the functional approach in general. So I have to say, let Carrie take the lead in terms of the plants. As you said, she's just got such a passion and knowledge for that she's really, you know, able to help me understand and learn about the specific essential oils that pertain to certain conditions. But in general, I really see that value.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about the sort of labs that you're doing as part of your practice. I think that the world of labs and testing can feel a little overwhelming for a lot of people. Do you find that there's like too many tests on the market? How do you focus in on the ones that are important for your clients?
There are definitely such a range of tests out there. People come to us with some of the more widely marketed tests, and we are able to take a look at those and delve into some of the areas where there is concern for digestive health, gut health, stress in general. There are specific tests that we're really using here around food sensitivities. And through the collaboration between myself and Carrie, we can really look at not only the most comprehensive approach to labs, but we also are really trying to keep things simple here. We don't want to do anything that's unnecessary. And so we're finding with a couple of the tests that, you know, I'm not sure it makes sense in the setting to get into the branding, but we do have, I'd say, three or four tests that we're using very consistently. Also at a price that's affordable for patients that have been stuck struggling with their conditions for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, there's a question here about the using labs to indicate the use of internal uses of essential oils. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. So one example of that is a test that we do to look at gut flora and digestion overall. And one thing that we're finding is that there are particular essential oils that we can use in supporting gut health if people are, say, low in some of the digestive enzymes like lipase, amylase, We're able to measure those and then get even pre and post treatment results on some of those things. You know, one thing that we're seeing just so much in our populations of patients with these inflammatory conditions that can result even in, you know, migraines or digestive issues is a common one, but we might even be seeing anxiety or insomnia being a result of these gut flora imbalances. And so I'm not sure if you're familiar with a condition called SIBO. It's small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And we really see that in a lot of patients. And that's an area where we can really get an understanding of the microbiome and how essential oils can be used as, in that case, broad-spectrum antimicrobials. So, for instance, thyme and oregano are essential oils that we're using quite commonly.
And you're using those in like a capsule form for people to take specifically for that microbiome overgrowth?
Yes. And those are developed specifically for these conditions and created in a way that they can be ingested and processed in the GI system that's safe and really, you know, works in a way that's a natural antibiotic, essentially a more focused antibiotic, because we know that traditional antibiotics that people are familiar with for treating ear infections or throat infections or lung infections create negative results for people by killing the flora that is needed for healthy gut balance.
Tell me more about the formulation of those to make them safe, because I want to make sure we have clear guidelines before people start drinking their thyme oil.
Sure. Yeah. And the most important thing, honestly, with that is that patients are working with a practitioner. So these aren't things that they can pick up off the shelf and pour into their water and administer without the guidance of a practitioner looking at their results and really putting together a formula that's going to work for them. Because they are tested for safety and utilized in a way that are going to get, you know, the results that we're looking for. And one thing that I wanted to add too, in terms of, you know, safety in sort of a bigger sense, is that when we're using these traditional antibiotics, we're often getting resistance too. So we're not getting the benefit we're looking for, and we're actually creating negative effects in the gut.
It's a crucial distinction for sure. But even with that said, there's still a lot of people that believe that essential oils, especially something like oregano, has that same effect where it will start targeting and killing the beneficial bacteria as well. How much do you know, or how much does research say about the differences between like a medicinal antibiotic and like an oregano oil as an example?
Right. So oregano oil is a very strong essential oil to be using. And often we will try some of the other compounds before we leap to oregano.
Such as thyme or...
Exactly. Anything. Yeah, we might. And the other thing is that we alternate in a way that clinically really gives us that result without a long-term treatment, which we could call more of a broad-spectrum kind of approach, maybe not as targeted, but stronger. And that, you know, that's something that general medicine is doing, where we're, you know, even if we're treating, say, a sinus infection with more traditional antibiotics, we start with one. And if that doesn't work, we go to another. So we have that capability with the essential oils as well.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, I'd love to learn a little more about SIBO. I've heard of it, but I don't know that much about it. You said it's pretty common. How many people do you think are suffering from this and might not even be recognizing the symptoms?
Right. Yeah. So SIBO is something that has been recognized in the past few years, and we're still learning a lot about it. It's something that we continue to pull up the research on, and there are the way it's diagnosed is through a breath test of gases. When people are taking this test, it's done with inhalation, and we're measuring the gases that are present to really figure out what type of SIBO they have, because there are different types and they're treated differently. So that's part of it. And I'd say, you know, we could even say that a lot of people who are struggling with IBS are really also experiencing SIBO, that we're finding there's a huge correlation with that.
And is that a new revelation? Like before in the world of IBS, were they not really, did they not really consider that as a cause?
Definitely. And it's something that is really a diagnosis of exclusion. IBS, when it's evaluated by traditional medicine, by a gastroenterologist, say, they're typically doing a colonoscopy and making sure there aren't other causes. Because irritable bowel can sometimes present like inflammatory bowel disease, which is treated in a different way. So that's the traditional approach. And it's another great example, IBS, of how essential oils can really help with the symptoms. So peppermint oil in general is something that is well studied. And it was actually studied by two of my mentors in my residency program, Andreas Corson and Ben Kligler. And both of them are just phenomenal physicians in the field of integrative medicine. But they did a meta-analysis essentially and had that published in a few journals. And, you know, for me, it's like standard of care, peppermint oil for IBS and people having cramping just happens to be one of the things that I know about and am familiar with and teach my residents when we're talking about treatments for IBS.
Mm-hmm. What form or what's the way that you recommend people use peppermint in that scenario?
Encapsulated as well. And there are enteric coated, and there are versions that are more slowly absorbed in because we're, you know, where we want that in specific areas of the gut, the slow absorption really works a lot better. So that enteric coating essentially gives us that result of it you know, performing its actions in the gut. Exactly. Yeah. One other interesting component of really looking at the diagnosis of SIBO or other types of gut health issues is that functional medicine is using really innovative and customized labs. So these aren't things that people are going to necessarily get when they're going to a traditional physician. Definitely not a traditional physician in this sort of fast food medicine culture that we have, because we're sitting down with people, talking with them for a long time, creating a diagnostic approach that is really going to give us the information that we need to design these treatments. For instance, with SIBO in particular, we're really looking at some of the prokinetic essential oils. So those are the gingerols and shogols. And those are present in ginger essential oil. And they really work in this prokinetic way. And we don't have very many medications that do that. So, you know, even with patients with gut motility issues that are affected by say diabetes and some other chronic medical conditions, we can get the result of creating that prokinesis, which, you know, impacts things like constipation and gut health in general, because to have those substances just sitting in the gut is very pro-inflammatory and unhealthy for people. So having essential oils that can help us work with that is really important. And so some other examples would be fennel or orange peel, cardamom. Those are, you know, some other examples of bitter substances that can get that effect of really creating that digestive benefit.
Do you know if those in their essential oil form would have a similar digestive benefit?
Yes, those are definitely all essential oils. Those are essential oils. And so we're looking at ways and products that, you know, are really utilizing those in safe, digestible ways. So again, these aren't things that people should run out and buy off the shelf. Make sure that you're working with a practitioner that can recommend the products and brands that are going to support that. And one other thing that I'd like to share on that note is that it's very impactful for people to see a reason that they've been having the condition that they do. And we can show them that with these lab markers and develop that treatment and see the improvement in the lab markers as well as the symptoms that they're experiencing, and create supplements and a supplement program that's really going to help them move through their condition and get to a healthier place.
And why is it that so many Americans especially are dealing with such poor digestion and having all these symptoms around digestion, constipation, diarrhea, upset stomachs? You know, we're really struggling with our gut health in America, I find.
Yes, for sure. And I'll just highlight one thing that Carrie works with a lot. And it's a fun acronym. I talk to my patients about it, DRESS. So that gives us the framework to really approach any condition. And that first letter stands for D, diet. And I'd say probably like 80% of people, or even more, 80 to 90% of people, if I were to give just a gross estimate, are eating foods that are inflammatory, highly processed, lacking in nutrients. You know, this is another real area of specialty for Carrie, where she has just a lot of experience as an ethnobotanist looking at some of the forms of food that we're eating today. And, you know, one example of that is corn and how it used to be a nutritious food, and the way that it's used today and through all the processing is not something that our bodies are used to. And so it's very disturbing to the microbiome. And so, you know, honestly, that's something that we're really seeing. And I'll jump through the rest of the acronym if I can, just because it's fun and that's something I like to talk to patients about. But and all of these things really influence gut health too. So not only diet, but how much people are resting or exercising, how they're managing their stress. And then the end of that is really where we're looking at treatments in terms of supplements. So there we get our DRESS, and all of those things influence gut health. So, and we know that there are issues with all of those things in our culture and the way we move through our day and the way we eat.
Absolutely. It's way too easy and cheap to eat poorly. And yeah, it takes a lot of energy and money to invest in your health in the approaching food first, for sure.
And food is medicine.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Food is medicine. And we need to treat it that way. And hopefully the trend can go. I feel like the trend is moving backwards. Like you talked about how corn used to be a nutritious plant. But through the many, many decades of hybridization and GMOs and overprocessing and all these things, the plant itself just isn't. Like, even if you were to eat, you know, raw corn, it's not the same as what it was for our ancestors that were eating corn and getting tons of nutritional value from it. But I think I see a higher demand, hopefully. It's not just like my circle of people, but, you know, people who are actively seeking out those more ancient grains, heritage, heirloom kind of plants, yes, because there is that understanding that it's going to be a more nutritious for your body.
Yeah. And so many people are struggling with weight loss too. And we're really seeing that connection with inflammation and weight loss. And one thing that we try to keep things really simple. And so for a lot of people, it comes down to essentially no sugar for one thing. So no processed sugars, and then at least no flour. And sometimes I even keep people on a period of time where it's no grains, just really trying to work with that inflammation. And I think the functional approach is probably more comprehensive and personalized. But even with that, I find that people can get a lot better with that very simple approach to diet of whole foods, taking out the sugar, taking out the grains. And that's a big change for a lot of people. But they do improve with that. And it's interesting that you're talking about like the heritage and ancient plant sources, and gluten sensitivity is something that we're seeing so much as well. And, you know, then we look at some of these more ancient grains, like, you know, there are these anecdotal stories of people go to Italy and they can all of a sudden eat bread, or France, right, and they can all of a sudden eat gluten because it's coming from a different source. You're right about the higher demand for that as we're learning more and seeing how we can better support our health and eat the things we want to eat in moderation.
Yeah. All about moderation. That's what my mama taught me.
Yeah.
Everything in moderation.
Even moderation.
Exactly. Love it. Well, Dr. Lindsay, this has been wonderful. Is there any last tips, advice, or interesting things you want to share about essential oils in your practice or the lab work that you're doing before we move on to the closing questions?
Yeah, so I think really through our Better Than Healthy program, we're able to personalize things for patients. So, you know, if we find that they do have a condition through the microbiome stool testing that we're doing, for instance, we can create a system of using personalized supplements and essential oils to help patients move into a healthier place and a place where they're feeling more empowered around their health. And I'd say the other way that we're really doing that and that essential oils can help people is through the emotional health, because these struggles are very real for people and impact them, their families. And so, you know, if we can use essential oils to improve mood and improve balance and really manage that stress component of health, that's just a huge, huge benefit for people.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Well, Dr. Lindsay, this has been wonderful. And thank you for diving into all of that about the labs and the SIBO. Just so much great information. Before you go, we always love to ask our guests a couple of closing questions. So if you don't mind, what's just one or two self-care practices you try to do every day to stay healthy?
So for me, it's really the E, the exercise in that DRESS acronym, which I feel like supports health overall. So even if people are just getting out and walking and getting the mood benefits from exercise, whether that's yoga or walking, hiking, whatever people do, I always ask them, what did you used to do for fun before you got sick? What do you like to do for fun before you felt so tired? And really trying to get them back to that place. So that's one thing. And then just taking a few quiet moments is so important, whether it's at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, ideally both, finding those moments to breathe and reflect and be in a place of gratitude are ways that I really feel like I can best support my health.
And finally, what's just one thing we should all ditch completely and replace with something healthier today?
So again, keeping things simple, people are often just rushing to the store to buy the next supplement that's, you know, marketed as this fad approach to help them solve all their health problems. And it's just so much money and so much misinformation is out there that most people can really ditch probably like 80 to 90% of what they're trying to use to treat their conditions on their own. And not to say that those supplements don't have their usages, they do, but when they're used in a way that isn't driven by science and labs and guidance, they're really just a waste of money. So I feel like, you know, a big part of what I do is trying to help people just be healthy overall. And you know, when they're spending money in areas that's not supporting their health, we can really help guide them. And so that's something that we really feel like people could probably ditch, is a lot of the supplements that they're taking that are either not helping them or harming them.
Mm, yeah, that this sort of frivolous use of supplements that aren't well guided is exactly what you said, and like a waste of money and sometimes even harmful. So I love that sentiment, and the work that you're doing providing that clarity for people is so reassuring and so necessary. So can anyone get started with the lab work that you're doing and the services that you offer? And in general, what's the best way for people to reach out and become a part of your world?
So our website is betterthanhealthy.live. And because we're so excited to be here today, we've decided to give a complimentary program to the first person that reaches out to us through our website. And that's a $4,500 value. There will be costs associated with the lab tests that are completed, but our services we are providing at no cost for anyone who contacts us first. And so we're excited to be able to work with people.
Ooh, that's so exciting. All right. Early birds, get on there. Get first come, first serve. I love yes. that.
And please mention that you heard us on the Essential Oils podcast.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Lindsay. This has been so much fun. Thank you for spending your time with us here today and sharing your wisdom on the essential oil revolution. We appreciate you.
Yes. Thanks, Samantha. It's been a pleasure to be here.
The Essential Oil Revolution is created by me, Samantha Lee Wright. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you haven't already, please take just 30 seconds to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It makes a huge difference when it comes to helping other people find the show. Thank you in advance. We'll catch you here next week. In the meantime, keep on learning, keep on discovering, and most importantly, keep on treating yourself well. You are worth it.